Yes, because as a Baptist, we have these beliefs from the Bible. And I just want you to know that we're not just Baptist because of the denomination necessarily. We are Baptist not because of family tradition or because of culture or preference alone. We're Baptist because we believe in Baptist convictions that align to the teaching of the scripture, okay? So, labels don't matter. Truth matters. That's why we're Baptist, okay? Earlier, we preached on don't quit under pressure. And where did we get that? From the Bible. Amen? From the Bible. So, I just want to just jump right into it. Point one is this. I am a Baptist because I believe the Bible is the final authority of our faith. I believe that the Bible is the final authority of our faith. As a Baptist, if you today claim yourself as a Baptist, that is one of the biggest foundations to your faith. You believe that the Word of God is the final authority of your faith, what you believe, and how you live life, of your practice, okay? And 2 Timothy 3:16, if you're there, say amen. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of who? Of who? So if scripture, not just some, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God, should we believe that the Word of God should be the final authority of what we believe or what we trust? Yes or no? Should we believe that the Word of God, if it's given by inspiration of Him, should we believe that we should live that way or obey it? Yes, right? I'm sorry, I'm getting... Tyler and Cameron, are you guys going to the teen class or are you going to stay in here? You're going to stay in here? Okay, all right. It says, and is profitable for what? Doctrine. So, profit, right? Think about it in a business term. They hire you to make profit for the company. But in this sense, spiritually, profitable would be, it brings value to you, right? And what brings value to you is the teaching, the doctrine. So, when you're reading the Bible, when I'm reading the Bible, if we truly as Baptists believe that the Bible brings value to our life, that means that we believe that the Bible can teach us something, right? And this is what it's going to tell us, what it teaches us, doctrine. Doctrine for doctrine just means another word, teaching, okay? For it teaches us for what? Reproof. What is that? It's teaching us what is wrong. Many of us don't know there are things in our lives that are wrong. Many of us don't understand that we do things that are wrong. Some of us don't understand because we come to church and we think, well, I come to church, I read my Bible, I pray, but understand that the Bible will teach you anything and everything that is wrong in your life. It's for reproof, right? It's profitable, it's valuable for doctrine, for reproof. Here you go, it teaches you what's wrong. For correction. When you find out what is wrong, guess what else the Bible teaches you? How to get it right. It doesn't just leave you hanging. That's the neat thing about the Bible. When you and I make the Bible as Baptists the final authority of our faith and practice, it teaches us what is wrong. And it teaches us how to get that wrong right. How to correct it. Amen? And then it says what? For instruction in what? It teaches us how to keep it right. Not only does the Bible show the error of my way, sometimes when I approach this, I'm getting a little bit better at it. I haven't arrived because I'm a sinner saved by grace just like you. But growing up in the places that I grew up and going to the church I grew up, I had these preconceived ideas. Some things the pastor would say were preferences, and I didn't understand how to separate or distinguish how to look at the difference between his preference and the truth. But when I started reading the Bible, and then I started obeying the Bible, something magical happened. It's not magical, it's not spooky. Something amazing happened. I started getting smarter. No, I'm kidding. God gave me discernment. It's not smarts. It's just discernment, figuring out how to distinguish preference from truth. And here's the neat thing. I would go to church, but I wouldn't know why I went to church. I only went to church because my mom made me go to church. But you know what I found out? Now I never want to stop going to church because I understand there's a purpose of going to church, the assembling. I'm supposed to connect with other believers. We are members of how many bodies? And who is the head of that body? But not only that, here's the spiritual thing. I'm not supposed to adulterate, cheat on Jesus, attend another church because I'm the bride. Oh, Christ, I know. We're like, wait, what? I could visit churches. Okay, do what you want to do. I mean, it's cool. I'm not saying that. I'm saying don't have a church attendance in your church and then have another membership in another church and then have another membership of another church. You know what I mean? Yeah, find your church. I'm not against visiting. What I'm trying to tell us is there's a purpose now, right, for church. I didn't understand that. All I knew back then was mama told me to go to church. Guess what I need to do? I need to go to church. Well, I had these preconceived ideas that if I went to church, it's because who told me to go to church? Mom. It's not because it was a decision that I made. I was going to start attending church because now there's a purpose for me. I'm supposed to function in this body of believers. I'm supposed to function as a bride of Christ. What do I mean? I'm supposed to be a representative and ambassador of Jesus Christ in this community. I'm representing my, I'm not a woman, but I'm representing my groom, okay? All right. I'm trying to use different words, amen? I'm a guy, amen? But I'm trying to represent him, amen? I'm trying to represent. Guess what Jesus uses to help me understand this? My wrong thinking, right? I'm going to go to church because mama told me, changed. That was wrong. Zeke, you're not supposed to think that way. You're wrong in that way. I'm glad children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right as in the Bible. You obeyed, but now you got to grow up, son. Now that God that was your mom's God that she prayed to, that she read the Bible to, is he your God? Do you know him? Oh, that's how you get it right. You make him your God. You make that your church. You make that your Bible. You make that your family church, your church family. And then how do you keep it right? Now you go to church, you attend. Guess what? Start serving. Serve others. That's the key. This is what the Bible does. This is for, therefore, I am a Baptist because I believe the Bible is the final authority. Psalm 119. Oh, wait, did I skip verse 17? That the man of God may be what? This word perfect doesn't mean without flaws. It just means flawed but finished. A mature person. Perfect, complete person. A person of integrity. What's a whole number called in math? Integer. Thank you. That's right, integer. Integer. This is what that means. You need to become an integer here in the White House community. Not a number. A person that's complete, that's mature. Amen? A person of integrity. Perfect. Flawed but finished. Not perfect without flaws. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, now, when you live your life, it's not that you're only a Christian at the pulpit, pastor. Amen? That means in all good works. When you go home, are you still that Christian? Hey, when you go to work, are you still that Christian? When you're hanging out with your buddies that you grew up, are you still that Christian? That's what that means. There's a public life, private life, secret life. Are you still that Christian in all three of those? Next. Nope, that wasn't it. Go back. Wait, whoa, what happened there? Go back, brother. Oh, I believe the Bible is the final authority. Can go back? Go forward, I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you. Lamed. I don't know. Oh, Lamed. Okay, Lamed. I'm like, man, lame? No, I'm kidding. Lamed. Forever, O Lord. And forever, O Lord. Thy word is settled in what? In heaven. This is the reason why as Baptists we believe that the Bible is the final authority of our life. Why? Man, I have the word of God and I love it. But this right here, I'm supposed to transfer this knowledge and wisdom to the tables of my heart. That's what you're supposed to do. And guess where it's going to be? His words. They're already in heaven. We can't add to this or take away to it the truth and the wisdom of God. What he says about marriage, what he says about spouses, what he says about family, his goodness, his righteousness, it's already in heaven. This is why I believe the Word of God to be my final authority. Pastor, what about your feelings? They don't matter. They don't matter. They don't. Not that I'm bigger or better or spiritual. No, 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 no. He's better. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways. But I learned that through his word. Not through how I feel. It's not fair. Life is not fair. Amen? Life is not fair. But he is. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. So I want us to understand here, folks, that we are a Baptist. And historically, we stand on the authority of Scripture above, what do you call them, councils, or, you know, sometimes as churches, we create these teams and what do you call them? Teams? Are they teams? We don't have them, so, amen. We're trying to work on some teams, amen. We're trying to get a little bit more organized. But, you know, we create these councils. Guess what's going to decide what direction our church goes? Not the pastor, the Word of God. Not the teams, not the leadership team, the Word of God. Not tradition. Well, we've been doing it this way all the time. The Word of God. Amen. As Baptists, that's what we believe. Listen, here's another step. Not culture. The Word of God. When opinions shift, I want you to understand God's Word stands firm. I'm a Baptist, and I believe the Bible is the final authority. And look at it this way. The Bible is our compass that points north. And in life, in order for you to make it, because we're not in heaven yet, we might be citizens of heaven, but we're still here on earth, right? In the wilderness, children of Israel, children of God. How do you know what direction and path to take while you're here? How do you know how to live life while you're here? How do you know how to deal with life when the bills are being stacked while you're here? How do you know how to live through family trauma and situations and tensions while you're here? The compass. How did many of these, can you imagine? I'm trying to imagine. Can you imagine a shipmaster, I don't know what they call him, the captain of the boat? They're going, it's dark, they're sailing across the sea or the ocean, but they're getting close to a harbor they can't see at night. Then the people in, I don't know what they call them, shipmates or sailors, one says, hey, go to the right. The captain's listening. The other one says, no, it's going to the left. I remember where the harbor is. Another one says, no, go straight to the middle. But then he sees a lighthouse at a distance. And instead of listening to the noise of society, of the culture, of social media, of the news, etc., 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 looks at the lighthouse and stays on course and safely gets to the harbor. That's what the Word of God is. Thy word is a light unto my path. I'm sorry, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It shows us where we're standing, my friends. It shows us who we are, imperfect, sinful creatures. But it also shows us the path we should take. This is the truth. You and I need to have enough humility to acknowledge that, who he is and who we are. My friends, the only way this is going to work and we're going to get our ship safely to harbor, metaphorically speaking, is what the Word of God is in our lives. Is it a final authority, or is it just a book we read? Ladies, I'm sorry to burst the bubble, but it's not a what do you call those books? Romance novels. Okay, all right, Miss Shante. All right, I'm not judging. Amen. I'm not judging. Amen. I, Oh, mate. Man, you're just a bus driver. You just... All right, I see you, Miss Shante. We like having fun here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I was just trying to see if you're paying attention, Miss Shante. Amen. But here's the thing, right? Oh, that's awesome. Amen. The world is full of opinions, my point that I'm trying to make. It's full of trends, right? When we read the Bible as something like oxygen, something that we need, it gives us life. It feeds the Spirit of God in us. And one of the things that we're going to have to understand is how to pull away from the voices from different people or different influences. Follow me? The only way we can do that is through the Word of God. And if we don't understand that, then this is what's going to happen. When we listen to those voices, they're going to be pulling us in different directions. I'm going to tell you something, man. Nowadays, you have full access at your fingertips, right? You're like ChatGPT, no more Google, man. I don't know what happened, amen? I guess that's higher learning now, I guess, ChatGPT. I used to hear Google it, now it's like ChatGPT it, amen? I'm like, what? You guys are going too fast for me, amen? But here's the truth. Here's the truth. Are you still thinking? Or you're letting that ChatGPT think for you? I mean, I get it. It has all the information from other people. But are you getting the information that you need from God? A living spirit. I get it, AI, whatever. It makes things a little bit easier. But my point I'm trying to make is this. The Bible is the lighthouse. The Bible does not shift with culture. You follow me? Yeah, I can ask Google. I can ask ChatGPT what I want to ask it. My truth. To kind of justify what I want to think. But the Bible? Man, the Bible doesn't care about my feelings, Ms. Carla. No. The Bible's going to say, hey, it doesn't matter what you think, this is how it is. Absolute truth. I want us to understand that the Bible is that lighthouse. It does not shift. It doesn't bend to feelings. It doesn't change with times. When everything around us is unclear, the Word of God shines. The Bible, Psalms 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Here's my second point. If you're still with me, say amen. I believe salvation is by grace through faith. As a Baptist, that's what we believe. We believe the Bible is the final authority of our faith and practice. But we also believe that salvation is by faith through what? Grace. We don't earn it. Amen? There's nothing we can do to earn it. We just have to believe and trust that it's a free gift. That's all. It's freely offered. That's it. Who saves us? That's the key. Jesus. Not Buddha, not Confucius. I mean, Buddha, you say, hey, just rub his belly and you're saved. No, it's not that. It's just Jesus. There's no works. It's no work. There's no works. It's not Muhammad. You know, it's none of that. You don't have to blow up people and then have virgins. I never got that, amen. But it's not that. It's not that. You're going to be cheating on your wife in heaven, I guess. This is, I don't know too much of that is Islam, but it's crazy. Some of the things the Quran says. Here's the thing. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Grace is when it's unmerited favor, yes, but it's when something's given to you when you don't deserve it. That's how we're saved. We receive eternal life, and I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. Pastor, I go to church. We don't deserve it. But I read my Bible. You don't deserve it. But I prayed a prayer. You don't deserve it. Interesting. I prayed the prayer. Prayer doesn't save you. Prayer didn't die for you. Prayer didn't pay the price for you. Who prayed pay the price for you? Jesus. I'm not being mean and I'm not being rude and God knows my heart. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. He is my God. He's my Abba. He's my Father. But God didn't die for me. His Son died for me. yes, he is God in the flesh. I get that. We're talking about the persons, but who's the one that made that sacrifice that only my dad would or our father would accept? Jesus. Jesus died for us. Understand. Well, did you switch on me? Go back, brother. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. So there's nothing I did, right? Nothing you did, right? Not of yourselves. You didn't earn it. I didn't earn it. It is the gift of God. The gift of what? God. Not because you deserve it, my friends. Something was given to you even though you didn't deserve it. It's grace. Not of works. Pastor, I'm a good person. I'm a good neighbor. I'm a good father. By the way, continue being that, please. We need more people like you in this world, in society. Please, continue being good. But don't make the mistake to think that's going to save you. No. That's just going to earn you treasures after you're saved. All that's going to earn you are rewards in heaven. But it's not going to save you. What's going to save you, right? Not of works, lest any man should. Jesus, or Peter, I guess he has the keys of heaven, amen? But we're going to be there in the pearly gates. Hey, why should I let you in, Zeke? Well, I was a pastor at Victory Baptist Church for 11 years. Well, I was married to the redhead. I was married to my wife, and I made it, amen? Love you. Because I had 6 children. None of that's going to matter. None of that matters. Because my mom was a single mom and we grew up in a hard knock life. None of that matters. Because I was from Texas. None of that matters. Because I'm an American. And I was respectful to the patriots that fought for me. None of that matters. Be good. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Be a good citizen. Cheer for your country. Be a patriot, please. Don't be a sellout. Hey, stay married to the love of your life. Please, don't be a sellout. Hey, be a dad, man up, right? Don't be a sellout. Hey, serve God, and when times get tough, it's okay. Don't be a sellout. Do all those good things, but none of those things save us. Peter's going to be like, oh, okay, that's not good for you. You know how it is? Why should I let you into the pearly gates? Well, you shouldn't. But I accepted the one that paid the price for my sin. His name's Jesus. That's all I did. I accepted Jesus. And guess what? It's going to be paid in full. Because the only thing the Father recognizes, and old Pedro over there with the keys, the only thing they recognize is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. All I had to do while I was here on earth and alive was accept it. I could never go to Peter and say, hey, I'm, because I was a good man. Hey, I helped my wife at home. I washed dishes. Babe, where are you at? People are not going to believe I washed dishes. Amen? No, I'm joking. Oh, I was a good man. I cut the grass. Here, that's superficial, but let's go spiritual. I read the Bible every day. I prayed. I went to church. I saw people saved. Pastor, that doesn't save you? No, those are good works. That doesn't save you. I prayed the prayer, Peter. That doesn't save you. I could never go to Jesus and say, hey, this is what I did. Next verse, please. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. I like that when Peter's talking to. Is this Cornelius, the centurion? I think that's the portion of scripture there. I love that. Hey, men, we're supposed to be spiritual leaders of our home, right? And by the way, I'm not the best at it. We all work at it, too, at our family. With my wife, we have these beliefs in our homes, too. We try to work on the devotionals, but here's the truth. We all need to work on them, right? We're not as good as we want to be. And what I see here, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We're not saved by baptism. We're not saved by devotions. We're not saved by having a family, functioning family. We're not saved by works. We're not saved by religion. We're not saved by church membership. Your trust My trust, your confidence must be in who? Christ, not ceremony. I'm a Baptist because I believe salvation is by grace through faith. There was a man that was drowning. Oh, I'm sorry. A drowning man does not need swimming lessons. I'm sorry, I can't even read. He needs to be rescued, right? So when somebody's drowning, man, that's good truth. You know what Christ rescues? Those of us drowning. Sinners. I'm drowning. That's who he rescued. Jesus rescues sinners. Oh, this is what I was going to say about a man that fell into the deep water and he could not swim. He fought hard. He splashed wildly. He tried everything he could to save himself. But the more he struggled, the more exhausted he became. People that were standing nearby shouted advice, kick harder. Paddle harder. Do this. Cuff your hands and paddle, right? Do better. But the advice could not save a drowning man. Eventually, the lifeguard dove into the water, reached him, carried him safely to shore. Then the man was rescued. Not because the man's strength, not because he kicked harder, not because he fought harder, because someone stronger than him came to save him. That's Jesus. That's salvation. It's not by our might. The thing about salvation and the picture of salvation is that sin has placed mankind in the waters too deep to escape. It's sin. Religion says, try harder. Go to church. Read your Bible. By the way, do that, okay? Give your time. Serve others, and we should. But here's the thing. Try harder. Those are good works. Amen? Do better. Man, we should. But doing better could never help us do it for ourselves. Trying harder could never help us do it for ourselves. We're not saved by our effort. We're saved by His grace. It's everything. He is everything. That's it. This is why He's the Savior of our life, but understand, He is the Lord as well. He is everything. And that's how we receive salvation, through faith. Here's a third point I'd like to share with you. I am a Baptist because I believe the local church matters. I know I shared this with you earlier, and I'll continue to do that until Jesus comes. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the what? The congregation? The what? The gathering? The assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. When we're assembling, we're using a function, right? Assembly is required. God has helped us gather here. Yeah, we should. But while we're here, what should we be doing? Assembling, Avengers, amen? No, Victory Avengers. Assemble. We should be connecting. How? Encouraging one another, exhorting. Here's the thing. There are things that are going on right now while we're here, right? You say, well, Pastor, I'm not a Sunday school teacher. Okay. Pastor, I'm here with my children, or I'm here with my spouse. Okay, what are you doing for God while you're here? Or you're just here to take? I get it. Not everybody's going to be a Sunday school teacher. But you cannot tell me that during the handshaking time, you can't go over and shake the hands of our visitors. That's what assembling is. We're connecting for a function. And our function is to make our visitors feel what? Welcome. Like this is a place for everyone to know Christ. No matter what. No matter who they are. Follow me? We're here for a function. Acts 2:42. Then they that gladly received his word were what? Baptized. That same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Not that I don't have the faith, amen. We just don't have the capacity, amen. If God, that ever happened here in White House, I'd love to see it, amen. We have a population of 7,000, I think, plus right now. But 3,000 souls, man, praise the Lord. We'll be in the woods over there somewhere. I don't know. Amen, having church. But this happened, and I want you to understand that as a Baptist, I believe in the local church. I believe it matters because we're supposed to encourage each other, but also baptism emphasizes what? That you believe in what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. You're professing, making it public, making it known, I'm a child of God. But also, what's the next thing that it leads to? After you get baptized, you join the what? Church membership. I know, local church matters. As a Baptist, that's what's supposed to happen. I want you to understand that this emphasizes an ordinance, right? There's only two ordinances. Come on, who can tell me? Come on. We do once every so often, and then the other one is after you get saved. What's that? The Lord's Supper, and I didn't make this up. I didn't. I promise you. It's in the Bible. So why does a local church matter? To help us keep these ordinances, to help people fellowship, to have church membership, to do something and reach the community for Christ, amen? The Christ that God has brought us to help discipleship. One of the biggest things, and right now we have a missionary here. The other one's gone over there. I don't know what he's doing, amen? No, I'm kidding. He's also trying to raise support. But Brother Chuck leads in the Central America for the MANA Worldwide organization. Missions. This is why we have church. Missions. Not for nice, beautiful buildings. I know. It's not a nice, beautiful building, but it's our building. I'm not ashamed of it. This is what God gives us. God, thank you. I'm not looking for anything else. Thank you, God. And whatever you want to give us, thank you. I don't know why you would continue to help us, but thank you. I'm grateful for it. But you know what we're going to do, God? Keep missions first. Help support missionaries to reach the world, places that I'm not willing to go and that you're not willing to go. Amen? We have the, I was going to say the Edmundos. Sorry, Brother Edmundo. The Jaquezes, amen. Sorry, Miss Lauren, really. Sorry, Miss Lauren. But they had a ministry of going to homeless and getting them a backpack with a towel and some necessities like that to help them out, and toiletries. That's a ministry. And they would show them the love of God or the Christ and give them a track or just ask them about the gospel or things of that nature. Use that time to help people. You have to understand, these are people that are down and out. These are people who are part of the society that some of us won't talk to. That's what the church is about. That's what the church is about. I'm a Baptist because I believe the local church matters. I'll be done. The local church is so important to us. How many of you have seen a fireplace, or you have a fireplace, or you've seen something like that in the movies, a fireplace, amen? Or maybe you have a digital fireplace. Some of you, I get it, you know. But, okay. I don't know if you've seen in a fireplace, or how many of you done a bonfire? How about that, amen? Okay. But we put wood into the fire so that way the fire will burn, right? But eventually, what happens to that wood? What happens a coal or things that burn like that? What happens to them? Huh? Before that, charcoal, they turn red, they're hot. What would happen if I got tongs? I think I said it right. And you use those things, and then you bring it out, and it's probably cold. I don't know if y'all remember the freeze. Which one, amen? I don't know, the one we got chosen, it was during that one time, amen? We lost our electricity, there was ice everywhere. I ended up getting the, what is that thing called, that grill? The black thing, huh? Blackstone grill. That's how we ate. Amen. Use that propane tank, fire that baby up, had some eggs, hash brown, sausage. Zeke was over there cooking, and some tortillas right there. Amen. But anyways, we survived. Amen. I was ready to sacrifice a dog. No, I'm joking. Cruelty to animals. I have love and compassion. I would never do that. Maybe. I shouldn't say never. But anyways, we didn't get to that place. Amen. God provided. Let me get back to the, I'm following squirrels, the coals. What happens when you take a piece of wood or a coal away from the rest of the fire? What happens if it does burn out and then you put it back in the fire? That's why the local church matters. You get it? Okay, some of us, okay. But that's what happens. When you take someone out of the local church, where it's the heartbeat of the community, they get cold. When you decide to stop assembling, you get cold. Hey, my friends, it's okay if you're cold. Just jump back in. Ignite that flight. No, ignite the fire in you. Warm up to the preaching. Warm up to the fellowship between brothers and sisters. They understand what you're going through. I get it. We don't want to tell people our business. And please, by the way, don't tell people your business. And don't come over here. I'm not a papa. Don't kiss the ring. I'm not the papa, okay, the pope. Take it to God. Now, if you need assistance, if you need biblical guidance, I'm here all day. I'm your pastor. Use me. This is my calling. Follow me? But we're not here to gossip about people. Gossip to me is when you give information about somebody and it's in a bad light. That's what gossip is. Gossip to me is not giving me information about, hey, this person's going through this, how can we help? That's not gossip to me. Believe me, if that's what gossip to you is, then gossip about me, because I need help, amen? I need help, amen? Gossip about me then. Gossip about the church and the building initiative. We'll accept the gossip if you want to help, but that's not real gossip. Here's the thing that I'm trying to tell you, my friend. We need to be very careful when we're around our church people, especially the young ones, because they see how we act, they see the example, they see what we do, and when we get off of that church, we get cold, guess who's going to follow? The people you influence. Here's the secret. It's not your choice who follows you. Well, I didn't tell them to follow me. Okay. It's not your choice. You instilled a desire for them to follow you. It's their choice. Just like it's your choice to follow Jesus or not. So guess what you should do? Understand, as a Baptist, local church what? Matters. It truly does. Especially for that next generation of people. Bow your head, close your eyes. What happens to many believers when they're alone, they grow cold. What happens to many believers when they're alone, they get discouraged, they get weak spiritually. Can I tell you, in the fellowship of the local church, that's when we receive encouragement. That's when we receive accountability. That's when we receive preaching. That's when we receive prayer. I love the Sunday school teachers when they get along with their students. They give their students strength. They inspire their students in a way that their pastor cannot, or the parents cannot. It's not that we're trying to separate parents from the students. We're trying to encourage them to obey the parents. We're trying to encourage them to follow the teachings of God as the piano plays. God never designed the Christian life to be lived in isolation. Please, don't ostracize your own self or other people. He placed believers in a body. Pastor, why? So we can grow together. So we can assemble. So we can function. I'm a Baptist because I believe the Bible is our authority. I believe salvation is by grace through faith. I believe Christ established the local church. Being Baptist does not save me, my friend. It does not save you. Jesus saves me. Jesus saves you. But I gladly stand where I believe Scripture stands. My question to you today is this: are you trusting in religion, or are you trusting in your relationship with Jesus Christ? That's my question. Are you attending church, or are you a part of God's family for you? Pastor, I'll be honest with you. I've been near the truth, but I'm not born again by the truth. If that's you here this morning, if you have doubts today of being born again, Pastor, what is that? That should give you an idea if you're saved or not. But all it's talking about is salvation. Born again is being spiritually alive. You have a dead spirit. When you and I were born into this world, we were born with a sinful nature and a dead spirit. The truth is, we're made of the image of God. And you have a dead spirit. That dead spirit is like a glove. A glove is made of the image of a hand. That glove, if the hand doesn't go in the glove, is useless. It has no function. You and I are made of the image of God. If the Spirit of God is not in us, we cannot function. We are dead. We're not saved. My question to you this morning is there anyone in here that could say, Pastor, if I died today, I am 100% sure that I am saved. I've been born again. If that's you, can you raise your hand this morning? Praise the Lord. Amen. Put your hands down. If you cannot say that, my friend, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not trying to coerce you. I'm not trying to do any of that. Because I love you, I just want to make sure that you know that you're saved. That you can know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt today, that you are saved and born again by the truth. Is there someone in here that could say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I'm not born again. My friend, you're not a bad person. We've all been there. But if there's a place where we would be excited and we would cheer for you to be born again, it would be this place. Is there anybody in here that says, Pastor, I'm not born again. I'm not saved, but I would like to be. Can you raise your hand? What we would do, we would like to show you what the Bible says, how Jesus can save you. Is there anybody in here? Just raise your hand. If you're not saved, if you're not born again, raise your hand. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth, Lord. I pray, like the coal on the fire, Lord, that once we start fading away, and Heavenly Father, once we no longer glow red, and Lord, the reality is this, we don't want our church people to darken and then grow cold in their spirit. Heavenly Father, we want them to be red hot for you, to be on fire for you, God. The reality is, those that remain together in the fire and serving you, Lord, they keep burning bright and they keep burning hot in the church, in the community. Please, Lord, help us. If there is someone in the outskirts of our church family, help us not only recognize it, but be a help. Help them also accept the help, Lord, and come back to the fold if they're cold. Come back to the fire, Lord, where they belong, where they begin to, so they can begin to glow again for you. Not for us, for you. Still, Lord, this is a lesson that we do need to learn, all of us. We're a church family, and the local church does matter. Because Christ, you will build it, and you will increase it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, thank you for being here. We love you. Appreciate you being here and being patient with me. Amen. I did go over. Amen. But listen, y'all can watch three-hour movies. Amen. I've seen it. Amen. Before. I've done it myself. Brother Mundo, don't lie. We could play video games for 5 hours or 5 days straight. Amen. Guess what? I went a little bit over. Okay. I apologize. And to the Sunday school teachers, I do respect your time. I do apologize for that first time. Hit me back next time. Take your time, go over. It's my fault. You say, Pastor, what are you doing? It's my fault, okay? It was my fault. I apologize this morning. I went way over. And today, I know you guys are hungry, so I don't want you to be hangry at me. Love y'all. God bless you. We'll see you next week, okay? Thank you. Noise.
Brother KJ, thank you for coming, sir.